Good evening, everyone. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the work study meeting of January 25th. We'll get started with the budget.
Okay, good evening, everybody. I want to welcome everyone with us tonight. We have Dr. Daly, who's with us this evening, who's going to do a brief review of the 2021-2022 tax levy calculation. Dr. Daly, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay, thank you. What you have in front of you, we have all the pieces of the tax cap calculation formula. The most important piece was the establishment of the New York State Comptroller of the tax levy allowable growth factor, which this year has been established at 1.23%. That's the lowest increase since 2016. As you know, there are different components to the calculation. You have them on your second page. When it's all said and done, and we've brought all Babylon-specific factors into the state-required formula, our 2021-2022 tax levy maximum increase is 1.34%. In dollars, that's $588,706. This process, as you know, will continue to play out, but this increase will impact approximately 80% of our revenue, which is our tax level. Do you have any questions at this point? Look all the backup. All the numbers tie into this sheet, which is what I typically present at this time of year. If you have questions, please feel free to reach out. We'll discuss this more in the next question.
Can you go over the private funds where that's coming in from?
We've never had private funds in Babylon. These are payments in lieu of taxes. I think most people are familiar with our tax base and know that I believe, I'm not 100% certain, I believe our only private property is the movie theater.
Correct. Yeah, that's why I'm asking the question. It's good to see that.
In lieu of property taxes on that building, we get payments in lieu of taxes. It's almost there for the same purpose. Private funds are typically provided to districts when IDAs offer incentives to businesses to bring into a certain area of a community. In this particular case, that property is not being fully assessed right now, but in lieu of it being fully assessed, we're receiving private funds. So it benefits the taxpayers. Okay?
Okay, so any questions on the review of the tax levy cap calculation? We will get a copy of this up on our website as we start this process so everyone can see how that's calculated. Okay. All right, next we have a copy of the draft 2021-2022 school district calendar. Board members, if you take a look at that calendar, we'll review it. This calendar was reviewed with all of our employee units, as well as with the board now. Even though employee units give feedback, it is the board's decision to set and establish and adopt the calendar. So with that being said, you'll notice that we start in September 1st and 2nd, which is a Wednesday and Thursday, with two superintendent conference days back to back. That is typically on an annual basis, typical what we do here. You know, we start off the year with two back to back schedule development days. The first day for students, according to this calendar, would be Thursday, September 9th, because 3 days prior to that, we have Labor Day followed immediately by Rosh Hashanah. So we felt it was best that the students start on Thursday, September 9th, fresh, after all of those, after the Jewish holiday, which makes sense for attendance purposes. You'll also see a superintendent's conference day on November 2nd, which is also a traditional day in our calendar. And the last day of school for students would be June 24th, which is a Friday. That gives us 180 instructional days plus 3 conference days for teachers and staff members. Is there any question on this calendar from any board trustee? It's a fairly simple calendar.
Yeah. It's a simple calendar. Can you just review what happens with COVID? If we have COVID?
Sure. We're allowed to utilize up to 4 snow days, where we could go down to 176 days by regulation. So there are 4 days built in here. So what we would do, if we go over those 4 days, then we start losing days, which would have to be then taken off like an April break. But you have up to 4 days typically built in these calendars.
Okay, thank you.
And the plan is to do a snow day?
Yeah, the plan is to do a snow day. Just like this year, we used that one snow day back in December. We used a true snow day. Okay? So what we will plan to do, we will plan to promote this calendar for board adoption at the February meeting. Okay?
Yeah, it's real tough with the Monday rolling into the Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, we're not going to get kids. People are going to be out on vacation. Yeah, that's why everyone figured, let's make the first day of school Thursday, September 9th. You know, because that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, the 6th, 7th, and 8th, we got Labor Day followed by Rosh Hashanah immediately right after Labor Day. So that would cause for tremendous absences. So, yeah, we just thought it's a much cleaner entrance for the students that Thursday, September.
Okay, so as we have talked about in August, we're approaching the end of the second quarter. We're fortunate to have the junior senior high school principal with us today. And we're going to talk about, reevaluate, look at our current plan, see what's working, what may need more adjusting, because we did make tweaks to our programming in the end, and what needs reinventing. So I'm going to open the floor up to any board members who have any questions, and we'll just start a dialogue.
I have questions. This is Ronsky. Thank you so much for taking your time out. I know that if you could just walk through the changes we made from when we first discussed this in August, and then we moved from, ASIC, all those words, but you just walk us through what we've done so far, remind us all that we have made changes and made adjustments and things are going pretty well for us. And then what we need to see happen in order to make a more dramatic change, just such as bringing all the kids back and making the option available, and just kind of touch base on the percentage we're now remote, and if we see any change in that from semester to semester, but the increase, decrease, and kind of just walk us through so that we all can just refresh ourselves.
Okay, so
So change-wise, we went from the beginning of our schedule was periods 1-4 twice a day. 1-4, 1-4, 5-8, 5-8, asynchronous and synchronous instruction for the AM and the PM cohort. It seemed like it was a little more difficult for the TM cohort because they would start their day with asynchronous, while the AM group, we got synchronous and followed up with asynchronous. We listened to that, talked to teachers. The whole time, we were really doing a lot of training with Microsoft Teams on both students and staff. And I think that's one reason why, when we say the model is working, the thing that works about the model is our synchronous instruction when students are not in here, not in school, when they're home, and our teachers' ability to actually communicate with them. I do think it's a fact. I talk to principals and teachers from other districts all the time. I do think we're a little bit further on that synchronous than I've given some other districts, and that's because of all the training that went on. But we saw that changes needed to be made. We went to all synchronous, but we thought everybody, including of course the staff, was up to it. We went 1-4-5-8, 1-4-1-4, for two more weeks until we finished out the quarter. And then we started the second quarter. We went back to a 8-period day synchronous on both the AM and the PM section. So I do think a lot has come from that, a lot of others grown from that. As far as bringing back students, of course, everybody, you know, would like every student to be back. I do think at times everyone thinks everyone else is back, and that is just not the case. Not everyone is back. Again, I talked to principals from all the districts around us. In my zone alone, there's 18 different schools, and barely anyone is back. And if you are back, so the districts that did go back, they might have just had really big schools.
Mr. Snow, when you say is back, you mean all students are in full time?
Correct.
Okay, I just want to clarify.
And most schools only had 4 grades to deal with, not 6.
Right, and so there are very few schools that full time in your cohort that you're
in Suffolk County.
Okay, oh, like all of them. Okay, thank you.
So I would say to me, the size of our room, I mean, just I've said it, but maybe not everyone knows this, but the elementary and the grade school have classrooms 900 square feet larger, and I do not have one classroom, one, you know, general education classroom that is even over 810 square feet.
And they're also so, not moving.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. They're not moving to our hallways. How many kids would be in the hallways to move up and down? And most schools, so in my cohort of about 18, most schools there are over the 30% mark of students who are fully remote. We're only about 7% about only. And I think we're 7% because some things are work, meaning safety-wise, safety security-wise. So, I mean, I guess someone said it earlier, and they are talking about bringing sports back. I'm sure the next move would have to be to bring, if the spike is going down, to look into changing the rule on the 6 feet apart. So if they change those rules, then kids can come back in.
And that has to be really at a much higher level than us, because I will tell you, I think we've been very fortunate here in Babylon. We're in the business of keeping our schools open, and we're one of the few districts that has remained open without any two-week, remote period that a lot of districts are doing around us. We've been able to bring these students in every single day and our staff. And I think that's because we are following very strictly as a district those, State Department of Health guidelines that say 6 feet person to person wearing masks all day long. Like Mr. Cerrone said, if I was to foresee something coming down in the future from the state, we might see that guidance change. When that guidance changes, that would be a great day for everybody, because then they're giving us pretty much the go-ahead. It's safe now to bring it down. But I have to commend the building and everybody who works in the building to follow these protocols, because even the kids have been the best part of the whole thing. I mean, the kids have been following to a T everything that they should be doing. And I really think that has caused us to not shut down. So rather than jump into something, we're going to take it slow and play it, day by day, see how everything unfolds. And, just like everybody, in this situation, I think we all went into this not knowing what to expect and knowing that we had to be fluid along with the process. Like Mr. Smart was saying, we take feedback very seriously, we make our own observations, and we know what's working. So with that, thank you, and Mrs. Amico, all the work you did to make those changes to the model along the way when that needed to happen.
So I just want to pick up one step further. So I know we will talk about the sports announcement eventually, but let's say the governor does lower the minimum distance. I'm assuming that our team has a plan for what that looks like at this building. So, that's been an ongoing conversation, I'm sure, since September.
I just want to clarify that we have a plan. If it happens tomorrow, it might take us a week, 2 weeks to roll out, but the plan is in place. Does anyone want to speak to that?
I think that's a really important question.
Right.
You can't just flip the switch.
No, it's going to take time.
So, I mean, some of the plan is, of course, to stagger the bells a little bit because of the hallways. Some of the plan is the 1 hour, you know, we'll be bringing back lunch. So that 1 hour break in between, we will stagger that lunch for 7th, 8th, 9th grade. 10, 11, 12 will probably have a full lunch that time. They will have the east gym for their area to use as a cafeteria. There's also an open campus for them. For their lunch, and then 7, 8, 9, they can use the cafeteria half the time, extra help half the time, and probably something also with, you know, counseling and stuff like that for the social emotional well-being of their child at that time. And that's why, you know, that's why it's hard. I know with that, we have a hard time saying too. You know, you want to say we're doing well. We're doing well with what we've been given. No one's doing well. We know that. I talk to kids every day. I go into classes every day. I talk to staff every day. I know not everyone's doing well. So we don't, what we mean by it is we're doing what we have and we keep talking about it. We are. We're constantly talking about it and trying to come up with better ideas. I talk with parents every day. And yes, there's parents that want their kids back, but there's also parents, there's so many parents that are so nervous with people who they have at home, elderly grandparents at home, students that have other issues, parents that have other issues. So there's a lot of parents out there that are very happy also with us being cautious too.
And that was actually going to be my next kind of question. If we do, if the government does change our parameters, I'm sure that we have plans in place, or do we have plans in place to work with those people who are not comfortable with that? You know, there are a lot of them, and we're hearing a lot of that. Like, my child may not be doing this because it's too close. I'm not okay with that.
So that actually might even open some of it up. Like I said, other districts are much higher than the fully remote.
Right.
If we open it up, it might offer people that right now aren't, they might go fully remote. So we might see an increase up to 15-20% fully remote staying in their actual schedule that they have. They can stay against it.
Right. But I think it just goes case in point to show you how powerful a state decision will be. Because I think when the state changes these guidelines, it tells the communities, okay, it's safe to open up. And that's what we're waiting for. And I can speak for so many schools around us, I think, you know, we follow the guidelines strictly, and we've been very successful doing that. But do I think that's coming down the pipe? I think so. We'll see.
So with that, we may see enough there in the school. Like, just from the letter he sent out today, what the number was
that was today.
That's pretty high. And I don't know if we're still seeing, you know, not being a scientist, I don't know if we're still seeing fallout from the holidays. We're kind of late for that now. So if we do go to 3B, when the governor, you know, says that the state says it, we may be higher cases, and we may have to push more.
Right.
We don't know, but we have contingency plans for as many things as we can think of, is what I'm hearing.
So, you know, my point is, I think we're going to see this all play out in the next few months, beginning with the sports, which I'm going to go into now, if I may.
Yeah, but hold on. Anyone have any other questions on that?
No, I just want to say thank you for all of the hard work, because I know that getting this model up and running was a lot of brainstorming. And I think that, yes, we have remote Wednesdays, but our kids are in the building 4 out of 5 days a week. They're here. And I think that's phenomenal. And Mrs. Rona, I agree 1,000%. You know, are we doing well? We're doing well with what we have, right? But I think all over the island, we are all fighting the same battles. And I want to thank you for all the work that went into this. And I know that we're still working on it, because we do all
we would welcome that day, that we could would have that normalcy come back. So thank you.
Can I just say something?
Thank you.
Just to think of the parent of an 8th grader and 11th grader, I just want to echo what Anna is saying. How much I appreciate you and your staff and every interaction I've had with teachers, with the school psychologists, with the guidance counselors, with you, everybody has just been amazing and prompt and courteous. And I just could not ask for a more supportive environment for my kids. And I just want you to know, I think a lot of times the loudest voices are the unhappy voices, but I want you to know that I want to say loudly how much I appreciate what everybody's doing here in the building.
Thank you.
Not at all, but that's the honesty, but I second that. Thank you for that. On the heels of that, today, Suffolk County Executive Steve Ballone announced a comprehensive plan that is going to allow sports deemed as high risk to resume with comments and safety measures in place and guidelines. This is really just hot off the press today. I do know that he's been working in close consultation with Suffolk County Department of Health and my association and now Section 11. However, I just want parents to know we're going to make it happen based on what they tell us that we can do. We're happy about that. We just need to know what we need to do. Superintendents are anticipating in the next couple of days a plan to come down, which we will then, that is governed by the county and Section 11, which will give us guidelines on how we get this out and running. Down to even, who's allowed to be spectators or even at spectators. So I haven't even seen the plan yet. None of us have really seen it, but we do anticipate it in the next few days. That will be shared with Mr. DeJoseph, and we will start getting guidelines in place to ensure safe play. With that being said, this is a start. This is a good start. More information to come. So I know that Mr. DeJoseph also put out something to parents, and he will continue to get something out to all of the parents and athletes in our sports.
Okay. Right. And to follow up, it's not like flipping a switch. There has to be, we have to wait for those plans, and then we have to schedule, and we have to start whatever happens to get those things in motion. So
yeah.
It's not a switch we can flip. It's a plan that we have to do.
Right.
And it will happen quickly as we can do it, not a day.
Right. We do know that masks will be worn whenever possible. There's going to be mandated testing of athletes. We still have to see how that is going to look like.
Do we know where we're getting the tests from?
The county is supposed to be sending us the tests. So I don't anticipate this starting ASAP because there's still a lot of questions in superintendent staff that we're waiting on. Temperature taking out on the field of coaches and players. So there are, whole points that we have to make sure are addressed in an organized fashion. But we're happy that this is making movement, and I think it's the beginning of.
Did they say anything about if you have to bus teams? What?
We don't know any of that yet. We don't know any of that yet. What that
so even though February 1st is a week away, we are still in the dark on a lot of the details.
Yes.
So we're just asking people to be very patient.
Yeah, but I think we'll be getting, I do think that we'll be getting direction very shortly. Hopefully.
Great. Thank you.
Any further questions?
No?
Let's go back to schools for a second. Are there any other changes that we could be making to get more, in school, like right now for remote Wednesdays? Are we sticking with remote Wednesdays? Is that under discussion?
I mean, that has been something that parents have asked about.
Okay.
But because maybe something that we could start talking about. We haven't really been talking about it here, but I think that is something that, I guess there's been a pretty good sign the last week that it's coming down a little bit. So maybe remote Wednesdays, even do practice runs. I mean, it's the one we've touched on with some of the directors and staff. If we brought in two of the grade levels for Wednesday and let them go all eight periods and stuff like that to try it out, see what it's like when we come back. So those are things that we've actually talked about.
Thank you.
Right, okay, so things like that would involve discussions with staff and with, right. So maybe we can just get a follow-up on that at our next meeting, which is February 8th.
Yes.
February 8th, and we'll just keep that dialogue going.
Excellent.
Okay, future board meeting. Our next regular business meeting is February 8th at 7:30. I have a motion to adjourn. Mr. Montalvo, second by Mrs. Jarrett, all in favor?